Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, and it's found on page 677. In this reading, we hear about wisdom, but the way in which wisdom is described in this reading, it appears as
a prefiguration, if you will, of Jesus Christ prior to him taking on human flesh. From Proverbs chapter 8, then, beginning at verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. Continuing at verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Acts. It's on page 1165, and we read Acts chapter 2, which is a continuation of the account of Pentecost, verse 14, and then moving to verses 22 through 36. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1146, and we read John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. The Jews answered Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you do not know him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on our Old Testament lesson for today, where wisdom is personified, prefiguring the work of Christ himself. Reading from verse 29, about the middle. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is our text. As I mentioned at the beginning of our services, this is a little bit of an unusual church festival, celebrating not an event, but a doctrine. And this doctrine of the Trinity is something that is worth celebrating. It has always been treated as one of the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. In fact, there are a number of church organizations, not necessarily that we belong to, but Christian supposed organizations, and the one doctrinal requirement they have for membership is that your church body, whatever it is, has to at least acknowledge the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is something that is difficult for us to comprehend. How can three be one? And yet this doctrine does tell us much about the God that we worship and what his character truly is. For many world religions, God is a very distant thing. He's something up way up there and we're down here. He's transcendent and somewhat unconcerned with the problems of mankind. He's mighty and glorious. But by way of example, if you were a Muslim, you'd never consider addressing God as your father. That's treating him too familiar. By contrast, we believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, not three gods, just one God. But in that simple confession, we're saying a lot about the nature of God. One of the things, and somewhat lately in my ministry, I've really appreciated about the doctrine of the Trinity is that it reveals to us that from everlasting to everlasting, God has always been family. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not only does it communicate to us that God is always family, but it communicates to us what that family is like. It's a family of love, of unity, of commitment. Listen again to the words of our text, which are in essence describing the Trinity. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of man. The Son is the Father's delight. And the Son delights in the Father and rejoices before Him. And together, when they do something like a creating man, they all rejoice in that. And when God did create man, the Bible is very clear that He created us in His image. And I believe the Trinity, as it existed, is in some ways designed into who we are, or at least elements of it. God made us in His image. In the image of God, He created us. And then Genesis continues, male and female, He created us. And then, in that diversity of male and female, He designs another institution. A man shall leave his mother, a woman shall leave her home, then the two will become one flesh. In the diversity of male and female, God also created a unity. Two, becoming one. And that unity was to be forever. And it was to be marked by unity and by love. Of course, things have changed. Not in the way God has made us, and not in the in what works in life. But as we all well know, Satan came into the world. And what he hates is what God is. He hates love. He hates unity. He hates commitment and sacrifice for others. And we see it most clearly in the temptation of Jesus Christ Himself. At some point in history, God went to His Son after man had fallen and said to His Son, I love these people. They have rebelled against us. They have cast away our love. And they will kill each other. They will make war on each other. They will steal from one another. They will destroy families. There's no end to the evil that they will do. But we love them. And to redeem them, you must take on their flesh. Go into their world and let me punish you the way they should be punished. And you will be mocked by them even as you're dying for them. And I will turn my back on you. Will you do this? My Son. And amazingly, Jesus says, yes. Without hesitation. That is such great love. Love just not only for us, but love for the Father. And it's amazing as He comes into this world and He goes out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Satan comes to Him and He shows Him all the kingdoms of the world. I have all these, He says. All that pain and suffering that you're going to have to bear, We can avoid all that. I'll give you all the power and the glory of earth forever and ever. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. But despite what he would be facing, Jesus says no. And he goes to the pain and the suffering of the cross because he is committed to the Father's love. And because he is committed to those whom the Father loves. We were made in the image of God. The Bible tells us that how two can become one flesh in Ephesians, Paul remarks, is a great mystery that is really a reflection of Christ and the church. It's a reflection of who God is in relationship to us. If you will, it's a reflection of who God is in his very inner nature. And because we were made in that image, there is no other life that we can lead that will bring us peace and joy and happiness and fulfillment, except that life that God designed us to live, to be a reflection of him. But we live in a world that is at war against that life, where things like the institution of marriage are constantly under attack, where lifelong commitment is almost mocked, where children are brought into the world and sometimes the dad is missing, which is actually most often the case. Or the two aren't really sure if they want to be committed to one another for the rest of their lives. These are not just optional lifestyles. They're the work of Satan. Because Satan hates unity. He hates love. He hates commitment. He hates God, as God always has been and always will be. And because that is the eternal image of God, and we were made in his image, there is no other life that can work except that which God has laid out for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together in unity for all eternity, together in love for all eternity. May God grant that we never forget this precious doctrine, which reveals to us the love of God, which reveals to us his innermost image, but also tells us what we are to be like. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV, copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeout.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting zionhiawatha.org.